Feeling good, Chris.
Oh, yes.
Feeling good.
Go on.
Here we are in the Eurovision Village this time, which we need to tell you all about in just a moment. Having just watched the second semi-final, there is so much to talk about. There is so much reaction to bring you in this edition of
Nullpois.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
That's right, we're just walking through the Eurovision Village in the centre of Liverpool. We've just watched semi-final two. There was lots of drama and tension in this one. It was a bit harder to know what the result was going to be, I feel, for this semi-final. We're going to talk through some of those results in a little bit later on in the episode.
Yeah, we are. Plenty of reaction to bring you in just a little bit as well. We should talk a little bit about where we are, right? We should talk about the Eurovision Village. We also need to talk about what you were getting up to last night, I should say. That needs to go. But let me just describe where we are. We're in the Eurovision Village, which we've been to many times. It's the fan zone. And I feel like, and I don't have the exact dimensions, but it feels like one of at least the biggest that we've been to. Along the side of the river, along the side of the Mersey, we've got the Liver building to our left. Very impressive architecture around here, and as you can imagine, there's the usual fried chicken places and the burgers and the bars and the portaloos and all of that, all that sort of stuff. Thank you. And so we've had a great time here, sitting on the grass, trying not to get too cold, and watching the second semi-final. It's been great fun. Back to that in a minute. Also, back to our guest, a very special guest, in a second as well on the podcast, which we're really excited to bring you. But first, I want to ask Chris, well, what were you doing last night?
Oh, I was being a dirty stop out. Well, I went to what's called Wee Wee Jam. That's right, Wee Wee Jam. If you're a Eurovision fan, you might have heard of something called called Wee Wee Blogs, which is a big Eurovision website. It's got all the Eurovision news, gossip, all that kind of thing. And they hold an event every Eurovision called Wee Wee Jam. It's in the middle of Eurovision week. They get people performing from past and current Eurovisions and they have a big old party. And that's what went on last night at the Eurofans Club.
So who did you see?
So I saw Karia perform. I also saw Luke Black for Serbia perform, Kari obviously for Finland. I saw Malta perform. Malta not going through to this year's final, but they gave a little performance as well. And then Subwoofer came on, this time
again
in their masks. Yes, they were there again. And they gave a rather strange performance. They obviously sang Give That Wolf a Banana, but then they gave a rather strange performance where they sang Fairy Tale, Alexander Rybak's number, but with some added Subwoofer lyrics.
Oh, right. That's a little strange. But anyway, it sounds like you've had a great time. You actually, I mean, you got back at 2, you naughty,
yes,
naughty.
Yeah.
But it went on till like, what?
Six.
6 in the morning.
Actually,
so
I was quite early.
You were, really. That does sound like an awful lot of fun. I was tucked up in bed, which is why I wasn't there. But I was getting very excited about something that we did today. We met somebody who we've spoken to on the podcast before, but for the first time we met them in real life.
That's right, and this was really lovely to meet up with, of course, Steve Rosenberg, the BBC Russia editor, but not just that, a lifetime Eurovision fan. I would say every Eurovision season is lit up by Steve's excellent piano playing. He normally plays lots of Eurovision hits all on the piano. He's fantastic at piano playing. He's also very good at just getting those Eurovision songs out. He seems to know all of them.
Well, naturally, here I am in a pub alongside Laura, and we've come to a pub not very far from where we're staying. In fact, it's the pub that we're staying in, to meet somebody very special. In fact, if you're a regular listener to Nullpois, you'll remember a great episode we did with the BBC's Russia editor, Steve Rosenberg, who was playing in Moscow. I was playing the piano and I was playing the piano in the UK, and we did some duets. And Steve, you may well know, is a huge Eurovision fan, and he's been doing something very special with his piano playing skills here in Liverpool. Hi, Steve.
Hello. Hello, I can't believe it. I'm in a pub in Liverpool now.
Yay.
It's amazing. Yeah.
This week, I've been playing Eurovision requests in a bar, Jimmy's Bar in Liverpool. It was such fun. You know, we had this Eurovision piano party, and just like we do every year, so we invited, you know, people around the world to send in their requests, their favourite Eurovision songs. And I played bits of them live on air. It was great, great fun. We had a little audience this year. We'd never had that before. And some special guests. Mel Giedroyc came along, and Rebecca Ferguson, who, of course, sang in the interval in the first semi-final. Brilliant singer. And she came to our piano party, and we did a little duet, Let It Be, a bit of a Beatles theme going on there. And it was just great fun. You know, and a nice vibe and lots of smiles, and nice to get away from the madness over there where I'm normally reporting on, yeah.
Yeah, speaking of which, what's it been like being in Liverpool? Is this the first Eurovision you've been to in person for a while?
Yeah, the first Eurovision I've been to for 6 years. Okay. And I'm really impressed. I'm impressed by the effort the city's gone to make this Liverpool's Eurovision Song Contest. Or actually to make it Ukraine's Eurovision Song Contest in Liverpool. Because everywhere you see Ukrainian flags, you see huge Ukrainian songbirds. And I think they've done it really well. And it seems to be the whole city is behind this Eurovision Song Contest. And that's really impressive. You know, just walking around Liverpool and by the docks and by the Eurovision Village, it's such a nice atmosphere, lots of smiles. I haven't seen so many smiles in one place for a long time. Yeah.
What change have you noticed then in the 6 years since you visited a Eurovision in person? Because I would say, I mean, in the six years that you and I, Laura, have been going to Eurovision Song Contest, we've seen, I think, a real kind of ramp up in everyone knowing about Eurovision and Eurovision becoming much more of a thing in the modern world than maybe the perception that it was maybe stuck in the 1980s somewhere. What's been your perception of being here and talking to people about the contest?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that I really get the feeling that this year, 2023, in Britain, people are taking Eurovision much more seriously than they ever did before, you know? Go back, I don't know, 10 years, and a lot of people made fun of Eurovision, calling it a quirky contest and entering, you know, not so wonderful songs. This year, everyone's talking about it. The BBC's taking it very seriously, I think. And there's just a great vibe around the whole thing, you know? And there's so much Eurovision content on television. It's absolutely brilliant. And of course, this year in the UK, they're showing the semi-finals, right? On BBC One. Well, that never happened before. So that's also great for raising the profile, I think, of the competition here in the UK. And I think that's just brilliant. I love how Eurovision also changes over time. You know, it's one thing in the 60s, it's another thing in the 80s, and it's another thing again today. And I think looking at a lot of the songs in the contest, I mean, there's some good songs. There's some good songs there. And I think that's great. That's great for the future of the contest.
What do you think this Eurovision means to people that you've been speaking to, not necessarily just in the UK, but also Ukrainians, because obviously the UK is hosting it for Ukraine?
Obviously. Ukraine won last year, and Ukraine would have wanted to host it. They did want to host it this year, but of course circumstances make that impossible. But even though they're not hosting it, even though it's taking place in a different country, this is clearly Ukraine's Eurovision in Liverpool, in the United Kingdom. And I think that still means a lot to Ukrainians. I was chatting to some on the street a few days ago, and they're proud. You know, that even though Eurovision isn't taking place in their country, it's still their Eurovision.
Let's talk about their Eurovision then. Let's talk about Liverpool 2023. Who have you had your eye on? Who's been your kind of talking point from some of the acts that you've been watching?
Loreen. Yeah. Let's start with Loreen. What can you say about Loreen? She was incredible in 2012, and I think she's incredible in 2023. I love Tattoo. I love playing Tattoo on the piano. It works very, very well on the piano, actually. And of course, she must be one of the favourites. Surely. I mean, not only a great song, but great staging. She's got great presence. I mean, a really strong package. It's got everything, right? So Sweden, I love the Italian song as well. Beautiful. I don't think it's going to win, but a beautiful song sung absolutely brilliantly. Switzerland I love as well. Yeah, Water Guns. I think that's a very nice song. I don't think it's going to, you know, it may not come top five, but it's a really nice song. If anyone's going to challenge Loreen, surely it has to be Finland. Mm. Surely. I mean, a completely different kind of song.
I was going to say.
From Tattoo.
Is that your kind of song, Steve? I'm feeling like it might not be, but what do you think about it?
Well, not as maybe not as easy to play on the piano as Tattoo. But, you know, Lordy wasn't. Hard Rock Hallelujah wasn't easy, and they won. So surely that Finland has a chance, you know. A completely different kind of song from Tattoo. But Cha-Cha-Cha's got everything, you know. It's very catchy. I can imagine people dancing to Cha-Cha-Cha across Europe in discos, you know. So I think it's between Sweden and Finland this year. Don't know. Often get it wrong, but that's what I think.
I think you could be right. My concern is with Finland, because when we've been in the arena, Finland's been going down really well with the fans. Hugely well with the fans. And everybody goes mad for Finland. And they definitely do for Sweden and Loreen as well, but maybe not as much. I don't know whether that will translate over to a TV audience, because they're seeing it for the first time. It is a bit more kind of bonkers. And whereas Loreen's a lot more kind of clear-cut pop, you know what you're getting. And I just don't know. I just don't know whether the watching TV public will get Finland in the same way that they can just easily get Sweden.
It's a good point, because it stands out, doesn't it? You remember it.
Yeah.
Cha-cha-cha, you remember that. So when at the end, when they keep showing the you know, they reprise the songs, you know, people think, oh yeah, Finland, you know, that was good. So I think it's in with a chance. Be interesting to see what the juries think about that in the final, yeah? So, but that's the beauty of Eurovision. You don't really know, do you, until the final vote's in. So, you know, it's very exciting, very exciting.
As we are here in the UK, it's worth asking, what are your thoughts on Mae Muller? I wrote a song as well, the UK entry.
Well, I like it, actually. Actually, I quite like it, you know. I mean, last year, Spaceman was very, very strong, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think that if Mae Muller could make the top 10, that would be a great success for the UK, you know. I think we're seeing, you know, Britain taking this seriously now. And it's great to see. You know, as someone who loves Eurovision, and you do too, it's wonderful to see the UK really taking it seriously. I haven't been in the arena yet, but from what I've seen, you know, she's got a great personality, she sings well, it's a good song, and I wish her well.
This is Noel Poir, your Eurovision fan podcast, and Cress and I here are making our way through the streets of Liverpool back to our hotel after we've just finished watching the second semi-final. I just got confused there because somebody was trying to take a photo of a giant inflatable bird, and I think I got in the way of their photo, so I was momentarily distracted. Yes, we've just been watching the second semi-final, and let's get into it. Fan reaction in a second, but first, what actually happened just now? 10 acts got through, 6 didn't.
That's right, and through are Albania, Cyprus, Estonia, Belgium, Austria, Lithuania, Poland, Australia, Armenia, Slovenia, that means out, Denmark, Romania, Greece, Georgia, Iceland and San Marino.
Okay, what do you think then about some of the ones who got through first of all? For me, very happy about Austria, very happy about Poland, very happy about Belgium. Slightly confused about Albania.
Although I will say this, having watched their national final, that was a very improved performance.
Okay, right. I didn't quite get Albania, but maybe I'm missing something that I can maybe get the next time I watch it. What are your thoughts on the ones who went through?
Agreed, happy for Belgium, happy for Australia as well.
Great song, actually.
They had a big glow-up, I think, when it first came out. Wasn't sure about that
song. Yeah, totally agree. I wasn't sure first time round, but I really, really liked it, actually, when I saw it. The ones who didn't get through then, really sad for Greece, and I do feel really sorry. 16 years old.
Yes.
I do wonder whether he looked very, very nervous. It was just him on the stage. He really needed to carry it, and I think maybe the nerves got to him, which is so understandable.
I do feel sorry for all these acts that don't get to perform in the final. It's a big thing to be able to get your song through, but then not to be able to get through to the final. It is sad. So I do feel sorry for them. I think he needed backing singers. I think he needed a better outfit. He was just jumping around. He didn't really have any choreography. So I think his team and production let him down a little bit there. I do feel sad for Romania as well, only 18 years old, and that maybe had a little bit too much production behind it. There was a lot going on and it was all a bit confused.
Yeah.
To say the least.
I think I know what you mean. Those are our thoughts, wanting very much your thoughts as well on who went through, who didn't go through, deserved, not deserved, that kind of stuff. The details of how you can get in touch and your correspondence coming up in just a little bit. But first, we've been in the Eurovision Village. We are just walking back now with the Albert Docks, Royal Albert Dock to our right. But here's what fans from right across Europe have been telling us immediately after that second semi-final.
I'm Arianna and I'm from Barcelona.
So you are draped in the Spanish flag along with your friends here. How are you feeling?
Wow, very excited. But it's not that excited because Spain always go to the final. But the other countries, the semi-finals, they are
being a good year.
Yes.
So who stood out for you tonight then as somebody who isn't invested in your own country going through? Who did you like?
Who did you like?
This semi-final for me was Georgia, that doesn't qualify. Belgium. Belgium was a surprise because in the pre-selection of his country was like, oh, won Gustav, and now it's like, wow, Gustav, and I don't know.
I'm David and I'm from Belgium.
You must be very pleased.
I'm super happy. I knew they were gonna go through, but to see the confirmation, it's really, really, yeah, it's exciting.
And how surprised were you by the reaction from everybody here? Because people seem to love the song.
No, yeah, it's true. It seems like it's in the top 3, 4, 5, I guess, just depending on the reactions. It makes me super happy. I think it's a very catchy song. Everybody picks up the lyrics very quickly, and it's a super positive vibe song, so I think it works well. And it's well deserved because he's a super good singer, and I'm really glad he got it.
I'm Panayotis from Athens.
How are you feeling?
I'm not feeling so good, but I knew the results.
Why?
Because our song wasn't that strong this year. And I was expecting that, so.
It was still a pretty good song, but I think it was tough amongst some of the other entries. Mm-hmm. Is this the first time you've visited for Eurovision?
No, actually it's my 60th.
Whoa.
Wow.
I go almost every year, yes. I'm a hardcore fan.
Amazing. And what do you think of it this year then, in the UK?
Uh-huh. Yes, of course, it's amazing.
Oh, brilliant.
I enjoy every minute.
Oh, thank you.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Right, my name is Annegret Sousa and I'm from Austria. I've always loved Eurovision, I've always followed it, and with living here, I mean, it's one of the parties you can go to. You feel at home,
yes.
You feel welcome, so that's why we traveled.
How do you feel about Austria getting through, and what do you think about the song?
It's a lovely song. It's good. I'm very proud. I brought the flag.
Yes.
And do you think Austria can win?
Maybe. They might be at the top five.
Yeah.
But I don't probably not win again. But Conchita Wurst was very good. They did very a lot for Austria.
I think you need to be a bit more positive.
Yeah.
I think you can do it. Come on.
Okay. Yeah, it's very rhythmic.
Hi, my name is Natalia from Tuneful TV, and I'm from the United Kingdom.
And what did you make of the second semi-final this evening?
Absolutely loved it. I was lucky enough to be present during the rehearsals, and I was absolutely blown away by the quality of performances. I couldn't call it. I didn't know what would happen.
Who are your faves tonight?
Tonight, my faves had to be... Do you know what? I'm going to say something controversial, but I really liked Blanka from Poland. I thought she did extremely well.
It's not too controversial. It was quite a good atmosphere here in the Eurovision Village.
Yeah, it was a great atmosphere, and I think she did incredibly well. But one of the acts that surprised me, because when I first saw it, I didn't quite understand it, but when I saw it live, I completely got it. Australia, they brought the roof down. They were amazing. The atmosphere that they brought, the energy, it was so, so good. So Australia just smashed it for me, yeah.
Yes, and I just want to give a little shout out to that UK fan who congratulated me on my face, so.
Well, yeah.
We didn't vox them, but hey, if you want to get in contact, just let me know. And the way you can get in contact is at Poanol.
Not to congratulate Cress on her face.
No, I'm waiting. It's at Poanol on Twitter. We are also Nolpoa Podcast on Instagram. And if you also want to congratulate me on my face by email, it's nolpoapodcast@gmail.com. Now, we have had a
lot... Were they congratulating you just for having a face, or was it something specific about it?
They said I look cute, Martin.
Did they?
They said I looked very cute, and they said they congratulated me on my face.
Well, okay. Right, let's... move on. And what are people... I don't know what to do with that information.
I didn't either. We just moved on with it. Anyway, thank you very much for everyone who's been reacting to our previous episodes. I know there's a lot to get through, so we appreciate everybody listening to all of them in this week. Thank you very much to Alexander, who got in touch again. He loved that picture of you we put on Instagram, by the way, Martin. We're just getting run over by a car here. Let's keep running. He loved that picture we put up on Instagram of you reading the Nolpoa book. And he managed to predict 8 out of 10 qualifiers for this semi-final too. So congratulations, Alexander, with that. Let's take a look at what people have been saying on Twitter. We had lots of people reacting to what was going on with the semi-final too. I think most people agreed with us when we're talking about Romania. They didn't think that one was going through. And a lot of people congratulating us again on getting those episodes up so quickly. Well done us, Martin.
Yeah. Well done us, and well done your face, which has been the real star of this podcast. Yes, Chris has given you the ways of getting in touch. It would be lovely to hear from you. The next time you hear from us will be immediately after, well, as immediate as we can anyway, after the grand final, which is on Saturday, of course. But Chris has an amendment to this.
Yes, no, I say that is what's going to happen. I was just going to say, you know, remind everyone, obviously, Martin's going to be at his little sort of Eurovision soiree, but I will be there at the press centre.
Well, hopefully... I say a soiree. Yeah. There's been a change of plan, actually.
Just trying to make you sound fun and cool, Martin.
No, basically, here's what happened. I tried to organise a Eurovision party at my house and nobody wanted to come. So instead, I'm going to be watching it with Rachel, my girlfriend, who doesn't really like Eurovision, but she has agreed that to watch it and to get into it. So I'm going to be watching it with her. So that's what I'm going to be doing. And you are going to be doing something very exciting.
I'm going to be there at the centre, at the press centre, hopefully getting some reaction from various press people. I will be there at the winners' press conference. So whoever wins, I'm going to be there taking some videos. So make sure you follow us on all the socials, because we'll be putting up loads of content there.
Yep, I'll be in a cottage in Surrey. Chris is going to be in a press centre in a tent in Liverpool. But we will bring you an episode reacting immediately our thoughts on the grand final. That'll be on Saturday night. Thank you for your company. We are wending our way back to our hotel now, past a bus stop. Thank you. Thank you for your company. Chris thanks you from the bottom of her heart, but mainly from her face.
Yes.
And we'll
very
see
cute
you.
Face.
Well, apparently. We'll see you again on the next edition of. Oh, what are you? Don't wink at me.
Call me.
On the next edition of.
Nolpoa!